This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, Toy Story, the retail version. In Los Angeles, a small independent survives among the retail giants. Plus, tech contributor Jenny Jardin with more gadget gift ideas. But first, two legal setbacks for the Bush administration's conduct of the war on terror, rulings on prisoners' rights last week from a pair of federal appeals courts. I spoke earlier with our colleague from Slate, legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick. Dahlia, let's remind people of the details of the two rulings. The first involved the so-called dirty bomber, Jose Padilla. He's an American citizen, but the administration named him as an enemy combatant, even though he was taken into custody here in the United States. And the Second Circuit Court of Appeals said that that is out of bounds.
Right. The Second Circuit essentially said that the president just doesn't have the authority, not under his powers as commander of chief in wartime, not under the joint resolution that authorized the war, to go around labeling American citizens who are apprehended on American soil as enemy combatants and then to detain them indefinitely without access to any kind of counsel, without access to a trial, without even bringing charges.
And the second case, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals found that foreign detainees imprisoned in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, cannot be held indefinitely without the access to a lawyer or due process.
Right. This was the appeal of a Libyan citizen who's been held at Guantanamo, one of the 660 detainees who've been held there. The case is sort of a carbon copy of a case that the Supreme Court has already agreed to hear this term. So while the Ninth Circuit case involves a lot of people, it's going to sort of be lapped by the Supreme Court decision, which is going to come down this term.
All right. What do these two cases signal for the legal rights of the so-called enemy combatants being held after 9/11?
Well, first and foremost, they raise a really profound question about who is an enemy combatant. The Bush administration has taken the position that the Bush administration alone gets to make that determination, and now there's a real question about who even gets to say whether someone's an enemy combatant or not. But more profoundly, these are really important issues for enemy combatants about what is the battlefield. Is the United States part of the battlefield? Is Guantanamo in the United States control? And so I think it really signals a new era of warfare where sort of the analogy of a war where you ship soldiers off to someplace else and they shoot their guns and they come home and enemies are repatriated, that model just doesn't fit anymore. And all of these questions really signal a new era of thinking about what is a war in a time with no borders.
Dahlia, doesn't at least one of these opinions suggest that President Bush can detain prisoners as enemy combatants as long as he wants if Congress were to authorize such a step? Is that legally true, and would Congress do that?
Well, there's definitely, that's the clear message of the Second Circuit. The Second Circuit really felt that relying on old Supreme Court case law, if Congress were to say, yes, the president now has the power to detain U.S. citizens indefinitely, that might perhaps be constitutional. And in fact, right now there are bills being floated that would define enemy combatant in a clear way. So presumably Congress could pass a bill, and it would, in effect, authorize the sort of detentions that President Roosevelt conducted during World War II. Whether or not the courts would then turn around and still find that constitutional, I suppose, is still a question.
What do these two decisions tell you about the current status of the war on terror, perhaps not in terms of Congress or the president, but the legal system? Is there a legal backlash against the Bush policies, and is that an issue in a period of orange alert?
Well, I think that it's important to realize that even though we're in a period of orange alert, the only thing the courts are doing is effectively getting themselves into the game. What they're saying is, look, this is a system that involves carefully calibrated balances of power, and that up until now, the Bush administration has sort of seized all that power unto itself. So I think it's important to say that what this is sure, it's a backlash. It's the courts saying, listen, there is a line between domestic and battlefield. There is a line between any enemy combatant and criminal defendant. There is a line between U.S. citizen and non-U.S. citizen, and that line needs to be policed not simply by the president. That line needs to be policed by the courts and Congress and the president. So I don't know if I'd call it a backlash. I would probably call it the system working as the founders intended.
Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick. She writes the jurisprudence column for Slate. Thanks, Dahlia.
My pleasure.